my professor, guitar professor, told me a story where he went to hear Manuel Barueco. Anybody heard of Manuel Barueco? Any classical guitar? Not a one. All right. He's he is a phenomenal guitarist. I think he's from Cuba, but he teaches up in New York City now. One of the best in the world. Some people say the best in the world. And my professor was telling me about hearing Manuel Barueco when he was in his 20s and desiring to become a concert guitar player. And he heard this guy play, and he said, afterwards, Josh, I went home and I cried, because I knew no matter how much I practiced, I would never be as good as Manuel Barueco. Right? And, you know, I've felt that way before. I've been in the presence of some of the best, taken lessons even with some of the best guitarists, best classical guitarists in the world. And as much as I tried to practice, I just couldn't measure up, right? And it's frustrating. Sometimes after the concert, I'd make a comment, boy, I don't know if I want to go home and practice more or just put my guitar up and never play again. It's just overwhelming. And these things happen, right? These things happen. We measure ourselves by those around us. And I would like to read for you a parable from Matthew 25, starting at verse 14. And Yeshua is describing the kingdom of heaven. For it is like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and handed over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents. Okay, and this is not the talent as in you can draw, this is a type of money, right? To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same way, the one with 2 gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Master, you handed me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. The one who had received the 2 talents also came up and said, Master, you handed me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a little, so I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into your master's joy. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came up and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master responded, You wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you should have brought my money to the brokers, and when I had come, I would have received it back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to the one who has, more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. We are given things in this life that we are to be faithful to the Lord with. And we spend too much of our time arguing about what we can't do, right? Some of us have physical ailments. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Some of us don't have much money. Can't do this, can't do that. Some of us have issues from the past. What about focusing on what the Lord has given you, right? And he doesn't give everyone the same. To the one servant he gave 5 talents. You can handle the 5. You can handle the 2. Here's the 2. All right, I'm going to give you the 1. Can you do something with the little that you have, right? The Lord gives differently to each one of us. And we are to be faithful with what the Lord has given to us. And the first step is this, listening to the Lord. Okay, just like April said beforehand, we compare ourselves with this person and with that person and with Manuel Barueco, who's great, but you guys have never heard of him. You compare yourselves, and it's like, I can't do it. I can't, and we focus on the can't. The first thing you do is you cut that out. You stop comparing yourself with the people around you, and you listen for the voice of the Lord. What has the Lord given to you? I've seen people try to be rabbis, or at least follow that path, that just were not called to it. Okay, I've seen people try to be prophets and speak out prophetic words, and it's just not their gifting. And it comes out forced, and it's not, maybe it's on the heart of the Lord, maybe not, we're not quite sure. But you need to stop saying, okay, this is the picture of who I need to be. I need to be like Moses, or I need to be like Joshua, or I need to be like Manuel Barway. No, you listen to the voice of the Lord. What has the Lord given you? And you get your picture from him. So you have to stop putting pressure on yourself, okay? And you are to stop comparing yourself to others. In addition, you are to stop comparing other people to yourself. Romans 14, 4 through 8. Who are you to judge another's servant? Before his own master he stands or falls. Yes, he shall stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day over another, while another judges every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Spend that time in that prayer. Hear from the Lord. Okay, this is okay. This is not okay. You and the Lord figure out how to show him honor. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes that day does so to the Lord. The one who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And the one who abstains, abstains to the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for himself, and none dies for himself. For if we live for the Lord, and if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Some of us are very observant of the Shabbat. You probably got here by car. So according to Orthodox standards, none of us is super observant. But some of us are more observant than others, right? Some will not spend a dime on the Sabbath. Others feel like, you know, I honor the Lord in my heart, but I have to work to make a living. I'll just have to take my day of rest a different day. Look, you get that from the Lord, okay? According to Romans 14, you are to be convinced in your mind what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord, and you don't go comparing others. Well, I don't shop on the Sabbath. You shouldn't shop on the Sabbath. And I don't think that's happening here. Maybe it has, maybe it hasn't. But at the same time, we don't judge those who don't spend a dime, right? If they feel like, I'm not going to go to that restaurant with you after services because I just don't spend money on the Shabbat, let them not one way or the other. We love the Lord. We get the picture of who we are to be from the Lord, not from pressuring one another. We feel so much pressure all the time. And the Lord wants to take that off, right? What does he say in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you are feeling pressure, it's probably not from the Lord, right? There's freedom in the picture that the Lord has for you for your life. When I decided, you know what, the Lord's not calling me to be a concert guitarist. The Lord is not calling me to work on my PhD at FSU. I couldn't get in anyway. But when I let those things go, then there was freedom in that. Josh, I'm calling you into the ministry. There was joy. There wasn't pressure, like somebody putting something on me that doesn't belong there. It's like, that is the Lord's picture for me. There was freedom in that. And that's what we need. We need that free. Lord, what is your picture for what my talents are, for what my giftings are? Let me take on that easy yoke instead of the heavy yoke that others put on me. And in the same coin, don't put your heavy yoke on somebody else. You've got to be doing this. You've got to be speaking in tongues. You've got... No. That's you putting your heavy yoke on somebody. You allow them. You teach them to hear from the Lord. We teach one another to hear from the Lord. Lord, what is my calling? What are my giftings? So that's the first step. Hearing from the Lord, not from another. And, you know, I went through this with my own children. I had no idea. Everybody talks about PKs, right? Preacher's kids. And how they're a little different or something. Maybe a little rebellious, maybe a little this. I had no idea in stepping up into leadership of a congregation, the pressure that that puts on the rest of the family. Okay, I didn't purposefully do it, okay? Connor went through a time period of wanting a mohawk. And I was like, well, I'm a rabbi. He wants a mohawk. How's that going to look? And there's that extra pressure, right? And I had to learn, wait a second. Even as the rabbi's kid, there can't be that extra pressure from me, right? Let him have the mohawk. He has the mohawk. He's got it. He doesn't anymore, but he's had one, and he has got the earring in his ear. I'm not going to put pressure on him to be like me, right? I'm going to encourage him, and he's been growing this, to hear from the Lord. Lord, who do you want me to be? What's my spiritual life supposed to be like? This is what my dad's is like, but it doesn't have to be mine. Right? And he's growing in that, and he's learning to hear from the Lord. And I want his image to come from the Lord and not from me pressuring him because he's the rabbi's kid or something. And that is so important. So that's the first step, right? Hearing from the Lord. The second step is we have got to be faithful to what the Lord has called us to. That last servant, the Lord was not pleased with him. I gave you one talent. I didn't give you the five, I didn't give you the two, but what I did give you, I expected you to do something with. You can't just bury that in a hole in the ground and expect the Lord to be pleased. Okay? And there is a lot to be said in the Bible about those who are unfaithful. And we have this theme of bitter waters, Jeremiah 9:13-15. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my Torah that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts and have gone after the Baals, the false gods, as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed this people with bitter food and give them poisonous water to drink. Revelation 8:10-11. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Okay, I'm not one to take a real literal approach to the book of Revelation. It's apocalyptic literature. I don't think it's meant to be taken real literally. If you do, that's fine. But what is the Lord saying here? I'm judging the world for their unfaithfulness. I'm making the waters bitter because you are being unfaithful to me. And in today's Torah portion, we also have the bitter waters, right? The woman that the husband is jealous of. Look, I think she's been sleeping around. You bring her to the temple, right? And then the priest puts together a concoction of bitter water that she's to drink. And if she has indeed been unfaithful, that becomes poisonous to her. And if she hasn't been, then the curse has no effect, right? Proverbs tells us undeserved curse does not come to rest. Same here, right? So we have got to make sure that we are not the unfaithful bride, that we are not that we don't drink that bitter water, but that we drink the beautiful heavenly water because we have been faithful to what God has called us to. the image God has given you for your spiritual life, for your family life, for your career. Be faithful to that. Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? The word there for faith, pistis, in Greek, also means faithfulness. Will he find faithfulness on the earth? Will he find you being faithful to what he has called you to? And we need to make sure the answer is yes. Lord God, you come back while I'm on this earth. May you find me faithful to what you have called me to. So my guitar teacher back in Virginia, he never became Emmanuel Barwego. Phenomenal guitarist, though, right? And he gave concerts that blessed people. And he taught students, and we learned tremendously from his musical wisdom. And he led and formed musical ensembles. And what he was able to do and the talents that he was given blessed a lot of people. And it doesn't matter that he never became Manuel Barwaco. He was faithful with the talents that the Lord has given to him. And we are to do the same. Lord, I might never be a Bible scholar, but I'm going to read your word and I'm going to let it take hold in my life. And if one person studies an hour a day and you can only do 5 minutes for now, then you do those 5 minutes faithfully, right? And the Lord will help that to grow. If you can't pray for an hour a day right now, that's okay. You don't let me or anybody else tell you you have to pray for an hour a day, or you're being unfaithful. You get from the Lord how much you should be praying a day. Okay, Lord, I'm going to take this time to pray. I'm going to put the others. Do we pray throughout the day? Yes, we pray day and night. But as far as that time, where just everything else is pushed out, and you spend that time with the Lord, and you feel like 5 minutes goes by. Yes, that's what I can handle. And now I feel like I'm just staying here to waste time, so I can say I prayed for an hour. No. You get that picture from the Lord of what faithfulness is, okay, however much it may be, and it'll probably grow, right? Don't force yourself to do an hour a day. You do what the Lord leads you to do, and the Lord will help you to grow in that spirituality, and that time will probably increase, but you get that picture from the Lord, but you be faithful to it, because if you're not faithful to what he calls you to, then it's the bitter water, right? And it's not necessarily he feeds you the bitter water. The bitter water is really the status quo. The bitter water is the world that he saves you from. And he gives you the beautiful water. 1 Corinthians 12:4-31. In the Corinth, the city that this letter is directed to, there is fighting going on over who's the more spiritual one. Right? And who has the better gifts and things like that? Paul's saying, you're not getting it, right? And so after this chapter, he goes into that beautiful chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, about love being the greatest thing, right? Love's the greatest thing. But first, he goes through these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are various kinds of gifts, but the same ruach, the same spirit. There are various kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are various kinds of working, but the same God who works all things in all people. But to each person is given the manifestation of the Ruach, of the Spirit, for the benefit of all. For one is given through the Spirit a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. This is from the Lord, that's not from the Lord. To another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit activates all things, distributing to each person individually as he wills. Not as you will for another person. You have to speak in tongues. You have to learn to get prophetic. No, as the Lord wills. we encourage one another, get in touch with the Lord and find out what He would have of you, right? And we do that for ourselves. I'm not going to try to be this person or that person. I'm going to be what the Lord has called me to be. For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also in Messiah. For in one spirit we were all immersed into one body, whether Jewish or Greek, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. That's what we drink of, not the bitter waters of unfaithfulness, but we drink from the Spirit when we are faithful to what God has called us to. For the body is not one part, but many. If the foot says, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear says, since I'm not an eye, I'm not part of the body, is it for this reason any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? Right? It's silly. Okay, but we do this. Everybody needs to look like this. Everybody needs to be that. No, no. Let the Lord decide and distribute the image of who we should be and what our gifts are to each one individually. But now God has placed the parts, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Just as He desired. Lord God Almighty, I thank You for putting us together as one body, for putting us together as a congregation, for putting us together as the collective body representative of Messiah Yeshua. And Lord God, we need to know what our part to play is. And so teach us, Lord God. Guide us in our spirituality. Guide us in the gifts of ministry to the congregation and to the world, Lord God. Guide us in who we are and how we are to grow in You. And let us not grab a hold of images of what others are and think that's what we need to be. And let us not place on others our own image, but encourage them to connect with the Lord and to receive that easy yoke. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Look, I'm not letting us off the hook here, right? There is a standard. The first thing that you have got to do and that I've got to do is we've got to spend time listening to the Lord. Lord, who are You calling me to be? What is my image from You? What is my spiritual life to look like? What is my we've got to receive this from the Lord, and then we've got to be faithful to it, so that we do as it says here, all were made to drink of one ruach, one spirit. We drink of the goodness of the Lord as we receive from Him, rather than drinking the bitter waters of unfaithfulness.